Its current state, Mid-Michigan's meeting place for the informed, the caring, and the curious. You can reach us via email at currentstate@wkar.org. I'm Mark Bayshore. This next story might make you a little squeamish, but it is fascinating. Our Melissa Benmark tells us more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. This next interview is about dead bodies, which it turns out are not completely dead. Bacteria and insects live on and near corpses, and what kind of organisms are there can tell scientists lots of useful things, including how long a body has been dead. To learn from what's called the microbiome, though, researchers need access to dead bodies, and the more recent, the better. There's a new partnership between Michigan State University and the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office, and that'll help researchers learn more about the microbiome of the dead. And to find out more about this, I talked with MSU's Eric Benbow about the program. Fascinating guy. He's an assistant professor of entomology and osteopathic medical specialties. And we started out with him explaining the nature of how he combines those disciplines.
There are a lot of insects that are medically important, especially for disease transfer and vectoring pathogens. And I've done some work addressing how certain aquatic insects may be vectors of particular diseases. And so this appointment at Michigan State was essentially someone who is an entomologist, an aquatic entomologist, but works in disease as well. And that's transcended into some of the forensic aspects.
So basically you're saying that bugs carry microbes.
Bugs carry microbes. Microbes affect bugs and influence their behavior. And we think the insects and the bugs affect the microbes as well.
So tell us what this collaboration with the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office will involve.
The part that Michigan State is involved with, my lab in particular, is we provide them sterile swabs to the medical examiner. And as part of their normal investigative routine and part of their autopsies, they will be swabbing in certain locations of dead bodies. And then they will store those and then ultimately give the swabs back to us. We'll process the swabs in our lab and then get them sequenced. And what that means is we're using high-throughput metagenomic sequencing to understand the entire microbial assemblage on different parts of the body. That means we can identify not just the microbes that are culturable, which has been the traditional approach, and that limits it to about 1% of the diversity that's out there. And so this new technology is allowing us to look at the entire community, not just the few species that we can culture in the lab.
So you talk about the microbial clock of a body. Tell us a little bit more in layman's terms what that is.
Some other collaborators and I have worked on donated human remains and tried to identify a microbial clock. We've also used the same techniques to identify a microbial clock on surrogates, swine carcasses. And there's been a couple of other groups that have done the same thing. And in fact, they were the first to call it a microbial clock. And that's essentially identifying how those entire communities of microbes change over the course of decomposition. So once you die, you immediately begin to decompose. The microbes in your body change within hours, and then they continue to change from day to day as part of the normal process of decomposition. We want to use that change, the successional change, as a clock to perhaps identify how long someone's been dead.
So in a real elementary way, it's almost like birds and crickets. You hear the birds in the morning and the crickets at night, and that gives you an idea of what time it is.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy, of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up in this particular field?
My experiences began with forensic entomology. Essentially, I was trained by a former professor here, Rich Merritt, in forensic entomology, how we use insects in a very similar way, how their communities change or how the developmental rate of individual species can be used as a clock on how long a person's been colonized by the insects. That's usually related to how long they've been dead, not always. So I got involved with forensic entomology. Some new collaborations with Texas A&M University and Penn State University have allowed us to explore how microbes might be affecting the insect evidence. And that actually pushed us into this new realm of the microbial clock.
So you're really going for more of a complete, not just the visible but the invisible in terms of what's living in and around the body of somebody.
Yes, absolutely. The decomposing body is a very dynamic biological system. And we hypothesize that the microbes play a fundamental role, not only as their own communities change as a microbial clock, potential microbial clock, but also how they influence other forms of life, like insects that come into a body. And those insects are often used as part of evidence in investigations. So we're trying to take the system, right, a systems-level approach to better understand decomposition, identify tools that can be used for forensic reasons.
To put it bluntly, it sounds like the effectiveness of your research is dependent on, in some ways, how long a body has been dead. That, you know, a recent swab is going to be more rich in organisms than a body that's been in cold storage for a while. And this may sound kind of rude, but as a researcher, how do you go around basically saying, hey, you guys got any recent bodies that we can... I mean, that's kind of... I'm making light of it, but it really, I can imagine it's kind of hard to set that up with people.
In our previous studies, we were using donated bodies, and that is a two-edged sword, right? You wait for the bodies to become available. As a researcher, as you wait, when you do finally get the object of what you need to research, you get more excited about it. And so, yeah, you have conflicting feelings because, yeah, you finally get to do your research, but two... You know, it's been a very unfortunate circumstance. With this new project with the Wayne County Medical Examiner, it's the same thing, right? It's normal deaths that they get. The investigative unit has to investigate. The autopsies will just be a normal part of their process. But it's providing us with the means of very, really new pioneering research into the postmortem microbiome. And yeah, that again... It's a double-edged sword, right? You have conflicting feelings. Unfortunately, we're going to have the opportunity to have a lot of samples.
I know people are going to want to know, how do you deal with the aspects in your job of particularly smell?
You breathe out of your mouth, to be honest. That's one way when you go to some of these scenes. And those that do this more routinely, the investigative teams, for instance, I'm not sure how they deal with some of the circumstances. I was involved with one a few years ago, and it was human remains from a very warm river here in Michigan in the middle of the summer. It was one of the most profound experiences of my life, and I smelled it for weeks after that. I don't think it was really on my clothing or in my office, but it was stuck with me for a long time. So, yeah, you have to distance yourself emotionally from the whole process when you're doing this, and I think identify, what benefit this is going to have to the overall good and to humanity as well.
What benefit will Wayne County get from this?
Their benefit and their interest really is to be part of the process of identifying really potentially new and exciting tools. So we're at the infancy stages of this, but all the data suggests so far, we have a really good probability of coming up with a new method of at least identifying the postmortem interval based on some of these communities. We need to test to see how robust this will be, how broadly applicable it can be. And so his office there in Wayne County, they're going to be in the pioneering part of this, and indeed he's one of the first offices to work directly with researchers in this capacity. And I think it offers a lot of potential.
I'm wondering if when, you know, assuming that other cities or counties get on board with programs like this with other universities, do you foresee them finding a different set of fauna, essentially, on a body depending on the city that it was analyzed in?
That's a really good question. That's another one of our questions, even just within and around Detroit. Can we use these same microbial communities to identify where someone's been within the city, perhaps what they've been doing, maybe what they've been eating, and perhaps part of the circumstances that led to their death as well? My collaborator at Mississippi State University, she has already been engaged with the medical examiner there in Starksville, Mississippi, and I believe they're going to start working with us as well. in addition to another metropolitan city that we're investigating new collaborations with. And so hopefully we will be able to test that hypothesis that microbial communities, postmortem microbial communities, are vary in space between cities, but also even within a city. Recent studies by some other groups have shown that individuals that live in the same house have a similar living microbiome. They're living healthy. And people that live in the same house have similar microbiomes compared to those that live elsewhere, right? And which one would suspect in many ways. And so we're hoping to use that kind of foundational research to explore the postmortem human microbiome and how that could be useful in forensics, perhaps globally.
Do you see there being any other benefits to this research?
Yeah, my collaborators and I have several new ideas on using this kind of information beyond forensics that I think could show some really important potential in terms of human medicine and perhaps infectious disease ecology.
Well, Dr. Eric Benville, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.